Quackenbush. Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
Play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clifton, I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiment. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove? Okay, you chant anything, people will join in. Canada. 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, oh, oh! He's a transponster. That's not even a word.
He's getting beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It's Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich, back in the Priority One Security Studios, where security is our first priority, so sports can be ours. Again, I'm saying that should be their tagline. I'm just nominating that as their tagline. Do with it what you want. It's the first day of March, people. 2018, you know what that means, madness. And you know what our specialty is? Madness. Everyone's losing their minds.
Our show could be considered madness every month of the year. But I thought what you were going to say when you said, it's March, you know what that means. And then just start singing One Shining Moment.
I'm not going to sing it.
I thought you were going to just break out into song.
I'm not going to sing it.
The ball is tipped.
I've been in the car for about 9 to 10 hours because of the, what essentially is a, like, it was a little personal detour.
How long did it take you yesterday? Because I took some back roads and
why?
I had some regrets.
Oh
but
my goodness.
I think I still made decent, like, similar time.
What were you thinking?
Because you look at 85 and you just see red.
No.
So I said, nope.
What? When did you leave? Did we not leave at the same exact time?
I went up to Winston-Salem and then went down.
What? Are you serious? You went through Winston-Salem to get back home?
I think you definitely beat me back.
Oh my gosh. I was at Little John by 9:45.
Yeah, no. I was not. That's not the kind of time I made.
What?
Whatever.
Are you serious? How
you
long
win
did it take
some,
you
lose
back?
Some.
How long did it take you to get back from Greensboro?
Oh, it ended up getting toward that 4-hour mark.
Really? Now, I only wrecked like once.
It was raining the whole way.
It was raining the whole way, but I was booking it.
Did you say you only wrecked once?
I only almost wrecked once.
Oh, my God.
Only almost wrecked once. There was, you know, you get the 18-wheelers that get real close, and then you have to, like, swerve a little bit, and then you get a little close to the wall. I mean, it was a thing.
They were out and about yesterday.
Yeah, they certainly were. So I roll in, and I'm serious. I'm pretty sure people thought that we were just, like, chilling in Greensboro. But because we didn't travel with the team, because we were aggressive in our travel, I got back before halftime, and I was met like a conquering hero because I think people expected that I was not going to be seen.
That is really good time to make it back. I didn't even make it to Little John.
And people were wondering, like, why didn't Kelly make it back? Where's Kelly?
Apparently, you guys were still driving.
What he said is, are you guys back? And the answer was no. You guys are I'm back.
It was the rare road trip that we did not drive together.
Correct.
And
which is probably for the best, considering the math we did yesterday.
Considering the math. Yeah, 59 broadcasts in 59 days. You don't really need to add a road trip in there as well, just for good measure. You don't need that.
I got home at like midnight. And you know what I did? First thing, we talked about this off the air, never talked about it on the air. But yesterday we spoke about how Greensboro has the best popcorn and the ice cream sandwiches and all that stuff.
Oh, so good.
So I got one of those ice cream bars. It was the cookie dough one. It was incredible for
and
the road trip.
For the record, you know how we were talking last week, people thought that I was just eating like a cow all the time. I used self-discipline and did not.
You did not.
I refused to grab an ice cream sandwich.
I was shocked. So I went back.
I did have Reese's though.
I went to get popcorn before the game. And the lady who gives out the popcorn had already prepackaged it. Like, it was in the packages, like the little bags. And, of course, one little bag's not that much, but we only had a little bit of time, so I was gonna tough it out. And the best popcorn in America at the Greensboro Coliseum,
so
don't
good.
At me, but that's true. She, like, was not giving it. She was, like, setting up the table. And so I waited and waited, and I pretended to look at my phone, and I waited and I waited. I waited for, like, 5 minutes. And she just never went back there for the popcorn. Now, there was an opening where I could have gone back there, but you know people are protective about their counters and stuff. So I wasn't trying to, like, encroach in the zone back there. But I was shocked that I didn't get any popcorn. So last night at midnight, you know what I did? I went in the pantry, and I opened up the pantry, and I got out a bag of popcorn. I popped some popcorn. I've wanted popcorn since 1:30 yesterday afternoon, or 2:30 yesterday afternoon. And I got it finally 10 hours later.
The event at Greensboro Coliseum is it's well secured. It's a very serious event. And I'm just envisioning now of you going behind the counter to grab your own popcorn, being reprimanded, being removed from the premises.
Right. And
then
you doing again.
I'm informed that Kwok has been removed from the premises because he tried to take some popcorn when he wasn't allowed to.
Worth it. Worth it.
I could just see that happening. I wouldn't even be surprised.
So last night I got to the arena. I ended up lucking into some tickets. Saw a friend of mine from college and who used to work for basketball. And Susan, who's awesome, Brad's secretary. She, assistant, I think is a
administrative
title.
Administrative assistant.
She allowed me to sit with them. So I'm sitting like right across the aisle from Dabo Sweeney. I thought about yelling, hey.
See you tomorrow.
You go for 205? Because we do have Dabo.
We haven't even announced it until right now.
Yeah. We have Dabo at 205.
He's our special guest.
That's right. We announced it on Twitter and Instagram. We announced it.
We literally
announced it at every place that it could be announced. It's been announced.
It's big news.
Yeah. Can we clap for Dabo for just making some time for us today?
Taking the time.
Yeah. It was really good. So he's had one practice under his belt, so Kelly Bryant's still the starter before anyone sends us that question. But if you do have questions for Dabo, you can send them to us today. At Kwok Talk, at Kelly Graham, look at 105.5 The Roar. You can text us, 961-566. You can call us with any sort of commentary about Clemson with a historic win last night in Little John Coliseum. When I showed up, Kelly, and in fact, when I was listening to Don and Tim in the first half riding down the road, which was very enjoyable.
I was listening to that
them.
As well.
They talked about the crowd and how good it was and the student turnout and all that stuff. And I know it's the last game, so people are thinking, I'll go for the last one because I'll miss it, you know, whatever. But the turnout was very good. You know, 9 o'clock is hard here. And we talk about the nature of Clemson fans and how far people travel and things of that nature. You know, part of the reason the football fan base is special here is because people drive up every weekend from Charleston, and they drive up from Columbia, and they drive from Charlotte, and they drive from Atlanta, and they drive from Spartanburg, and they drive from Anderson, and they drive from all over to come to Clemson. But Clemson itself is not big enough, and the surrounding areas are not big enough to sell enough tickets to sell out a 10,000-seat arena, which they used to have, and even a 9,000-seat arena, which they have right now. That you just can't. You can't do it without people driving from far away. So for these 9 o'clock tips, it makes it very difficult because it's a school night. because people may stay for the first half and then leave because they want to get their kids in bed, or because they got to get up and go to work the next morning because they got to drive 40 minutes home and then they got to drive 30 minutes to work. Just a whole ordeal.
I mean, if you're, let's just say, an average fan from Greenville, right? Like you said, if let's say the game ended about 11 o'clock, right? So you don't get home till midnight. You can't really bring your kids to that game, you know? So you have to figure out different plans. 9 o'clock is tough. I'm glad this was the only 9 o'clock home game of the year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe so,
There was one on the road in Raleigh. It was at
right,
NC State.
That's right.
So that's fortunate. It was unfortunate it was the last game. I'm glad they did senior night a little earlier, too, on Saturday, so families could be there and all that.
And I think that was part of the, you know, if you wondered why did they not do it the last game, I think that was part of it. That they didn't want, you know, because after a 9 o'clock game, when they moved the time, after a 9 o'clock game, you're thinking to yourself, I'm trying to go. Like, if you kept your kids for two halves of basketball and it's 11 o'clock or 11:10 or however, you know, long it takes the game to get over, you really going to stick around for that senior presentation?
It'd be tough.
Probably not. I mean, people got to make a value judgment there.
That being said, good parents do bring their young kids to 9 o'clock basketball games, for sure. My parents did.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure your parents did to us. Well, man, I don't know.
We didn't go to a lot of basketball games.
But they would let you stay up, right?
We lived a little farther away, but they let me stay up and watch.
A lot of times
when I was younger, like 7, 8 years old, they let me stay up and watch the first half and make me go to bed.
Yeah. Or you're the kid that's fighting sleep.
Oh, big
time.
You're just trying
so hard to stay awake. Oh, yeah, I got this. I'm going to be awake. You're out by the beginning, you know, the first media of the second half.
I've turned into an adult that fights sleep, so it's I get honest.
Yeah, it's been a full circle.
For people that came, and it was a great crowd. The energy was very high. Andrew on Twitter pointed that out to me, and maybe one other person got tagged in it this morning, that the crowd was great, even though there were some empty seats, which you would expect for a 9 o'clock game, of course. The energy level in the building was very good. The crowd was very into the game. And it was, and I'll say this word, and I don't use this word lightly. I heard someone say this one time as a compliment to a coach, and I thought it was one of the great compliments that someone could give, especially someone who likes to watch the game that they're watching, that someone told a coach that it was a pleasure to watch them play. And I, you know, when we have coaches on, if I feel that way, I don't mind saying that, because I think that is the ultimate compliment that you can give a coach. If you're a fan of a program, or if you have relationships in a program, to say it was a pleasure to watch your team play tonight. It's been a pleasure to watch your team play this season. It was to say to a pitcher in baseball, it was a pleasure to watch you pitch today. It was a pleasure to watch you swing the bat. It was a pleasure to watch you run the football today. It was a pleasure to watch you kick or whatever the skill is. It was a pleasure. It was undeserved. It was emotionally stimulating. It was fun and relaxing and energizing to watch you do your job. And last night, when I showed up to the arena and watched the second half of basketball, I felt it was a pleasure to watch Clemson play. Mostly because I thought it was also a pleasure to watch Florida State play at times. I thought Florida State played well last night. And Brad Brownell said in his postgame press conference that they came ready to play, and it certainly appeared that way on the broadcast. And you could tell that it was not inefficiency on Florida State's part, or frenetic play, or lack of effort, or whatever on Florida State's part, because they got after it. The things that Clemson was able to do, text from the 843 says, Quag over here going all Chick-fil-A on us. Man, I mean, maybe so. I'm pretty good. Yeah.
We clap for Dabo and Chick-fil-A jokes.
That's pretty good.
Elite Chick-fil-A jokes.
That's fantastic. 9861566, you got jokes. We'll clap for you. We'll give you a rim shot if it's like a dad joke or something. I tell you. Anyway, I felt that way. I felt like it was a pleasure to watch him play, and winning by double figures was an outstanding way to finish.
Couldn't you apply that too, and I think you would, to the entire home season? I think it's been an absolute pleasure to watch this team for 16 games in Little John. Not just because of the record. I mean, you're 15-1. You think that it's probably been kind of fun, right? For those 16 games. But, I mean, this team has played very well in their home gym. They've defended it. They've come to play every night. I mean, even in some of those non-conference games where it's tough to get up for a North Carolina A&T or a Samford or whatever, this team got up for it. and they defended home court. And I think if you're any fan that bought season tickets for Clemson this year, you attended most of the games in Little John, you felt like it was definitely worth your investment. And it was just a lot of fun to watch.
Last night, Clemson, they did not shoot the ball great. They shot about 40%. I know I saw Brad Brownell turn to the bench a couple times on drives and say, that's not what we want right there. And I think part of it is the matchup with Florida State makes you do things that, frankly, a team like Clemson that likes to attack the rim just is not great at, which is sort of resisting the temptation to drive it to the rim. When you have Christ Kumaji, however you say his name, I'm going with Christ because that's how it's spelled. That's what's in my heart. Christ Kumaji, who was 1-for-1 but bothered a bajillion shots at the rim. I mean, the guy was everywhere. He had one block, and I swear it was like he had a million blocks. Ike Obiagu had 5 blocks. He had 4 points, 2 rebounds, 5 blocks in a game. He bothered every shot at the rim. So in a game where you can't get to the basket and where the perimeter defense is long and athletic, for you to shoot 40% and make 10 threes, and make all your free throws when you get in there and you're going to get fouled there, especially at the end when they made free throws. I thought Clemson adjusted really well to the nature of the game. And in a game where Florida State made a bunch of shots too. I mean, they were 21 of 50. They shot 42%. They outshot Clemson from the floor and from three percentage-wise. They didn't make as many free throws. But on a percentage basis, if Clemson's not getting second chances, Florida State out-efficiency'd Clemson, for lack of a better way of putting it.
You talk about that big front line inside for Florida State. I thought Elijah Thomas really held his own. 11 points, 8 boards. He was 3 of 6 from the line. And there were times where, especially down the stretch, I thought he made some big plays. And you mentioned the size of Kumaji. What about that play late in the second half where Kumaji's called for the foul because he basically, I mean, he wrapped his arm around Eli and, you know, threw him to the ground and then stood over him. And then you see Eli kind of standing up to look at Kumaji because you don't stand over someone, right, without, you know, Eli trying to defend himself in some way. Didn't come to anything crazy, which was good, but it really put in perspective how large Kumaji is when Eli is looking up at Kumaji.
Yeah.
trying to kind of step at him.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, hey, Eli, why don't you stand up?
Right.
Well, you want to stand up, Eli? Hey, stand up.
It's unbelievable.
He's that much shorter.
Because Kumaji is just massive. I mean, Florida State is massive. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we were in Tallahassee. To be up close and watch these two teams play, you really have an appreciation for the speed, the athleticism of the game, but just in general, the athleticism of Florida State and how massive they are. And Clemson didn't out-athletic. We're just making up words in this first second.
Out-athleticism.
Clemson didn't out-athlete Florida State, but they played better basketball.
They
and
did.
That was kind of the bottom line.
They did. They were +9 on the glass. They doubled the offensive rebounding
output. What
about
the turnover margin? We know how important that was in Tallahassee. Clemson went 9 turnovers last night. That was huge.
And you know what? Points off turnovers, Florida State 1-1. But here's one of the big stats, too. And this has got to be the biggest takeaway in the difference between the two games. Fast break points, Florida State had 2. I don't know what the number was. Could have been 100 in Tallahassee. Because every single time Clemson turned it over was a run-out dunk.
That's how they got back in the game in Tally.
2 fast break points. Clemson only had 4, but +6 on second chances and +8 from the foul line. Well, you'll take that every single time out on the floor. Also, I want to make this point because Marquise Reed has shown us, I think, the best version of himself, where he's the most comfortable. And I think it's... Sometimes you think guys are going to step up because of how they produce already in different roles, but I think making him the primary distributor makes him a worse distributor, and I'll explain that when we come back. I think this version of Clemson with Shelton Mitchell gives them 2 great distributors, but I think without Shelton Mitchell, they have 0. I'll argue that when we return in just a moment. Dabo at 205, Brian Edwards at 105. We shifted him around today. We've got hump day headlines from yesterday that we're doing today. Also, a little, we got some numbers to crunch, some Clemson-centric numbers to crunch, and the greatest video I saw from sports last night. You're not going to want to miss that. Stay with us. More to come. Out of bounds in just a moment.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
If you love everything Clemson, then you need to know about Lakeside Lodge of Clemson. It's a new condo resort under development on Lake Hartwell, right across from Clemson University. It combines the best parts of owning a place on the lake with the amenities of a hotel, such as housekeeping, great food, and other services. Plus, you can rent your condo when you're not using it. And did I mention that it's on the lake? Go to lakesidelodgeclemson.com to find out more.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Christian Faith Publishing is looking for Christian authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Christian Faith Publishing reviews each and every book submitted to them, and they give you their feedback. And if they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So whether you've written an inspirational work, a novel, a children's book, poetry, or a biography, and want to get it published, you need to call Christian Faith Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-331-9912 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-331-9912. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-331-9912. That's 800-331-9912. Work with a publisher who shares your core Christian values of integrity and honesty. Call Christian Faith Publishing at 800-331-9912 for your free author submission kit.
Trucks cost less than travelers rest. Save nearly $13,000 off a new 2017 F-150 XLT four-wheel drive chrome package. Just $34,999 plus tax and tag. And they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. See the 2017 F-150 XLT at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less than travelers rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
Price includes rebates. Must finance with Ford Motor Credit. Valid through April 2nd.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
It doesn't go with the outfit.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. I'm in need. But she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. I'm in need. But she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. One more little note about the game last night before we sort of talk big picture. Honestly, the post-game press conference with Brad Brownell last night, it was a lot of big picture stuff. Like, it wasn't a whole lot about the game.
Well, I like how Brad has been, you know, open and honest about the fact that, hey, we're in. And I love that. Yes. I like that he's not skirting around it, you know, because some coaches might say, well, there's still a lot of work to do and we're still fighting, blah, blah, blah. We're still fighting, which they are. But I love how he's just come out and said, you know, hey, we're not having to worry about making the NCAA tournament at this point. We're worried about other things, which I think is really cool.
I like that he's just challenged the team to have a mindset that's as good as it is. Like that, it goes back to the point that I made, that we talked about it on air before the North Carolina game, when he said he wanted a team to play with an arrogance.
you can't win these types. And last night's game wasn't a single-digit game or a close game, but you can't win. I mean, it was close throughout.
It was kind of, yeah.
It was single digits, technically.
I never thought. 13 I never points. 13. Technically,
oh my gosh,
it was single math. Digits. I never thought in the course of the second half, I never thought Clemson was going to lose a game, but it did get tight there.
My point is, I think that you can't win this many single digits digit games that Clemson has won this year, and close games and games where you've had to claw and fight back, like the Georgia Tech game last Saturday, without a bit of arrogance.
I agree. 100%.
I don't know if you have the confidence to do that. And last year's team didn't have a confidence. It didn't have a collective confidence or a collective arrogance that it could use to, you know, to as a positive. But this year's team does.
That type of spirit has to be collectively reinforced. That's why losing a bunch of games in a row
honestly,
is bad.
By winning. It has to be reinforced by winning.
It's kind of, unless you have an uncommon mindset, like even as a shooter, you know, Kelly, you gone through a prolonged slump before?
I have.
All right. There's a time in there where you think, man, the next one's going in. And then at a certain point, you just realize that the next one's not going in, you know? And you just kind of flip that a little bit, or you start to doubt and waver a little bit. No matter how confident you are in those things, you start to doubt and waver. I think last year's team could have had it if they hadn't had so many times it got close and fell short.
That's just human nature. I mean, if you see... With what Clemson had last year with all those close losses, it is human nature to have a mindset that it's going to happen again.
Right.
And maybe this team as a whole has more of that shooter's mentality. The next one's going in. We're winning the next game.
It does a little bit.
We're winning this game.
Good closer mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, blow a save, you got to come back the next day and get the next one.
I think it also helps a bit when you know who your closer is and you don't have an internal dispute or just... Maybe you have a closer, but maybe he's not your best closer. I mean, this year, Marquise Reed is your closer, and you know, and you give him the ball, and he seems to score all the time.
Look, last night, he was outstanding. Mid-range jumpers. I looked at the person beside me. I said, he's not going to miss any of those.
What about the play when he got his pocket picked? He was bringing the ball up, and it was a turnover very similar to ones he had in Tallahassee. And you think, okay, here we go again. Clemson's going to start turning the ball over. Marquise is getting kind of manhandled a bit up top. And then the very next play, he hits that mid-range jumper, gets fouled, the ball rolls in, he converts a three-point play. I thought that was so huge. That is next man up. That is next play. The next shot's going in. That's that type of mentality and the unwavering confidence. I think it was displayed in those two plays back-to-back.
Reed last night, 22.7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals in 38 minutes. Just absolutely brilliant. You had 4 in double figures. Danelle gave you 8 off the bench, so you had some balance there.
He had some big threes in the first half.
DeVoe, 13 points, 5 boards. How about 4 of the 5 starters having at least 5 rebounds?
The rebounding numbers, I mean, just look at how spread out, how balanced it is. Obviously, Eli with 8, but everyone else was grabbing boards. Besides of people who played more than 10 minutes, everyone had, what, at least 2 rebounds? At least. And Mark Dinelli had 2. Everyone else had 3 or more.
Ascara gave you 6 in 21 minutes.
Ascara had some big plays. Ascara, and you're here
too. What a shocker.
To give him credit. And he still is not scoring the ball.
I'm here for it.
But he'll have a block that leads to a run out. Or he'll attack and had that kick out to, I believe it was Marquise for a 3. I mean, he just makes big plays that don't show up on the stat sheet. And obviously, you'd like to see him score a little more and maybe, you know, become a better 3-point shooter so he can be more of a threat and a better free throw shooter. But he's such a glue guy. He's the ultimate glue guy.
Or how about big plays that show up in the stat sheet, like 3 offensive rebounds?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, rebounds show up, but other stuff doesn't.
He's not going to be a guy that gets a rebound stick back either because he understands who he is. He's going to rebound and kick it back out. So then you make the other team guard for, you know, 25 more seconds.
That's the thing with Scara. He never tries to play outside himself.
No, even when
he knows who he is, he knows his game.
Like, there were times last night I was like, all right, he's got an open shot. He could take it. Nobody's going to pump fake and go around this guy. Okay, he's got a layup. Nobody's going to go into the middle
dish.
And literally just jump in the air and then throw it out to somebody. Very, and I'll say this, it's very European. The way he plays on his pump fake drives and all this, there is a flair to it. He does not shoot the ball great, but there is a flair to his game that is European when he starts going downhill to the basket because he is going to basically make the defense come in and he's going to make them go back out and he is going to get somebody off balance I thought the way the Tigers saw the floor for skip passes over taller defenders was tremendous. There were many times where somebody would like drive down the left side and find somebody in the right corner or right wing to the left corner. There was a lot of that. And then Marquise Reed with his 5 assists. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't need them to make this point, okay? But remember how we said Marquise Reed's going to have to handle the ball a lot when Shelton Mitchell was out. He's going to have to handle the ball a lot. And if you look at his assist numbers, there are a lot of times he leads a team in points and sometimes rebounds and many times assists. Like last night, leading scorer, leading assist man. And so you think to yourself, all right, maybe he won't score it as much, but he's going to assist on more baskets. The reality is he really didn't. And I think Marquise Reed gives you a secondary distributor because he's also your primary scorer off the bounce. So when he has to be a primary distributor, he loses the ability to attract people with his scoring. And instead, it becomes easier to guard. That's why I say with Shelton Mitchell, one thing you lose when you lose him is you lose Reed as a secondary distributor. That's brilliant. The reason that Marquise Reed had 5 assists and Shelton Mitchell only had 3 last night is not because Reed is a better passer. Reed is a better distributor than Mitchell is. I think Mitchell is still the proverbial, in terms of distribution, the straw that stirs the drink. He's a guy that makes everybody else thrive.
And would you agree that Marquise Reed has stepped into that second distributor role because of Dante's absence? I don't think Marquise was distributing as well when Grantham was still in the lineup. But I feel like he's been called on more.
Yeah.
Initially, I feel like in initial meetings and whatever with this team early on, it was made clear to Marquise that his role was to score, right?
Yes.
Score, play good defense. Score some more.
And that's who he is anyway.
Right. But I mean,
they didn't have to make him do that.
You have to credit him with Grantham going out. He's still continued to score, but he's also picked up the slack when it comes to handling the ball and distributing it. I mean, he's literally doing everything.
His assist rate has increased from year over year the last couple of years. But I will say this. When in that Pittsburgh game, the last full game to Mitchell, and really Mitchell played the whole game against Florida State. He had 4 assists. Then he had 5 against Duke and 3 against Virginia Tech and 2 turnovers apiece. But it just kind of felt like he lost a little bit of that creative juice. Yeah, I had 28 points against Virginia Tech, but it took him 24 shots to get there. He just basically was a chucker against Virginia Tech, and they needed him to
be. But, yeah, they really had no choice, right?
The last two games, he scored 35 points on a combined 20 shots. That's very efficient. And he's also got 10 assists to 4 turnovers.
Wow.
So when you don't need him being a distributor and a scorer, when he can be a scorer first and then distribute off of that, he's a great distributor. And that's why I say when you lose Mitchell, you almost lose Reed's ability to make everybody else better and to function perfectly in your offensive system. And I'm not sure we knew that until we saw it on the floor. And then we see again how Reed responds with Mitchell in the lineup where he's got two 5-assist games back-to-back, even with Mitchell back in the fray.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. I think that's a great, great point, Kwakin. I love this text from the 803. Back to our guy, Scara. He says, I've been critical of Scara, but he's definitely that guy that you want on your pickup team in Fike, even though you know he isn't great on offense because he's going to do the dirty work and you don't have to. I think that's a great characterization of Scara
That's a great characterization.
You want him on your team.
Yes.
He might not fill it up offensively, but you definitely want him on your squad. And, I mean, the way we know how good he's been defensively throughout the year, too.
It feels like this game... Maybe KenPom had it like 77-71 last night, favorite Clemson. So it's not like Clemson won a game that it wasn't supposed to win or whatever, but it felt like because of the way the Florida State game ended last time and when they go up 8 in the first half, it feels like a game that there's a potential you lose. This was not an upset the apple cart type of game. However, that Miami-North Carolina game still has made the standings in the conference a little cattywampus. Like it's turned it up on its side a little bit. So that a lot of the conventional wisdom that we thought we knew heading into this last little bit of play, this last weekend of play, has kind of been changed a little bit. The dynamic has been changed a little bit with regards to the conference standings and what's possible. Right now, I'm looking at KenPom's projections. There are teams with 2 games to play still. Those teams are Virginia, who's already locked up the 1. NC State, who's now a half game behind North Carolina and Clemson. Louisville still has 2 games. They're 9-7. They are a game and a half behind, so they got to win both to have a shot here at getting up into a top three seed there. Then let's see, Georgia Tech has still played, has only played 16 games. So Virginia, NC State, Louisville, and Georgia Tech. Okay. Now, once those games are over tonight, we'll have a much better chance to handicap what's going to happen, because then everybody will be in a level playing field. But there's still that, there's a lot of scenarios that can come from the action tonight. You get NC State playing Georgia Tech, and really, if you're a Clemson fan, you're rooting, I'm going to say this, this is like out of a Dr. Seuss book. You're going to root like heck for Georgia Tech tonight. Because...
root like heck for the Ramblin' Wreck.
Right?
Of Georgia Tech.
The wreck. I only said wreck one time. I still wanted to say it so many times yesterday on the broadcast just to make you mad. Because they were wearing the wreck jerseys. You're such a hater. You're such a Tech hater.
I just really think are. The way they bop is really silly.
I think it's great.
And then when they swarm, I've made my stance clear on this.
I'm telling you, that's the freakiest thing ever. When you're like, you're hearing sounds from all
right,
over.
When
like
when you're trying to wrap up post game and you see a guy with a French horn just run right past you.
I don't know where they go. That's why
the band is just running everywhere.
How did he get? He's in the rafters. How did he do that?
How did he get to the second level?
Right over there. Like, there's so many questions on that.
And they're still bopping.
They're still bopping
the whole time.
Obviously. But you're rooting like heck for Georgia Tech tonight, because if Tech somehow beats NC State, then State is 10-7. And then all of a sudden, a lot more scenarios come into play.
Right.
With North Carolina probably going to be an underdog in Cameron, you would think. With NC State now, with one game still to play, and it's home against Louisville, who kind of needs some wins to feel good about itself, because the top side of its resume is not great. You feel like they need a couple wins here down the stretch. They play Virginia tonight, so they're gonna, you know, you feel like they need to go 10-8 in the league to feel good, and not 9-9.
Aren't you also rooting like heck for Duke this weekend over North Carolina?
Yes, we'll get there. I'm more so just focused.
Okay, you're
on
talking
tonight,
about just tonight.
Yes, you're right. Against North Carolina, you need Duke to win, big time. Just clear some of the clutter out. Winning this game, though, unlocks a lot of potential for Clemson, because Syracuse is not great. Syracuse has lost games at home. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow as well. We got a lot to discuss tomorrow. Syracuse has also lost 3 in a row, 4 out of 5, and they're 3-6 in their last 9. And among those games, a home loss to Virginia, an 8-point win at home against Wake Forest, a 4-point home loss to NC State, and a 4-point home loss to North Carolina. They're 1-3 in their last 4 home games, and they've lost games to St. Bonaventure and Notre Dame at home as well this year. They've lost 5 games at home, 4 of those ACC. They've won some home games too, of course. They beat Buffalo, that's a top 100 type team. They beat Virginia Tech. They beat Pitt, free win. They beat BC at home. They beat Wake Forest at home. Their best home win this year probably is Virginia Tech. Clemson's better than Virginia Tech, are they?
Well, not in Blacksburg on that one night. But
not in Blacksburg on one night, but I think if you put those two teams on a neutral floor and you ask 100 college basketball, you know, analysts to pick the game, I would think it'd probably be like 75-25 Clemson.
Maybe
right?
so. Virginia Tech has definitely earned a good bit of respect with these last couple wins. But I think
Virginia Tech's great.
I take your point, for sure.
Anyway, we'll talk about those a little bit later on. I want to get to some of the standing, sort of an update on where teams could finish, because that is so fascinating to look at when we've only got like 4 days left to play games. Hey, tonight, William the Refrigerator Perry, Michael Dean Perry, 5:30 to 8, Embassy Suites at Verde. As far as I know, tickets are still available for this. You can still kind of squeeze in there. I know that we're running low. But I've not been told that they're sold out, so I'm going to keep telling you about the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame Legends Speaker Series. They got a silent auction with memorabilia from the Perry Brothers, much more. Our friends at Ingles, Embassy Suites, Progressive Packaging, and, of course, Priority One Security sponsoring this event. VIP space available. Kids 12 and under, absolutely free. More information, scfootballhof.org. Members of the SC Football Hall of Fame, fan members, receive 10% off an online ticket purchase. You can also call 864-312-5828 for information on tickets as well. Short break. Final segment, hour one. We've got Brian Edwards coming up hour two. A little bit of nonsense with some hump day headlines for a Thursday, and some crunch the numbers in hour two before Dabo Swinney restores order in hour three.
In hump day headlines for a Thursday, we will laugh and we will cry.
Are we going to cry?
Oh, they're that good.
Is it going to be cry laughing?
It's going to be cry because the story will move you.
Really?
Yes. And you're going to laugh, which could lead to tears for me, especially. Obviously. And then there's one more that's just kind of a fun tidbit. So we will cover all the emotions today in Hump Day Headlines Thursday edition.
Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
This Saturday, the Clemson men's basketball team travels to Syracuse, New York for a final regular season matchup with the Syracuse Orange in the Carrier Dome. Tune in as the Tigers look to get one final win before the ACC tournament. Pregame begins at 1:30 p.m. with a 2 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom, just because. Online purchase and print from your computer. Only at UrbanNirvana.com.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at Walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-597-4310. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-597-4310. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-597-4310. That's 1-800-597-4310. 1-800-597-4310.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Two for Tuesday. Buy one roll and get the second half price. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Cars cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. With payments as low as $289 a month, drive a 2018 Ford Escape S with power equipment and sync. They never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less than Travelers Rest. Save big on a 2018 Escape S as low as $289 a month. Yep, $289 a month. Nearly 90 years in business, George Coleman Ford.
Based on $2,000 down at signing, 4% financing for 84 months. Price includes rebate with approved credit. Valid through April 2nd.
Get your tweet on at Quawk Talk. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Suffering succotash. I've created a kindergarten Frankenstein.
Now back to Quawk and Kelly.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Apparently, David Skara, subject of much discussion on the text line and on Twitter.
Well, of course.
Leon Anderson says at 986-1566, Scar is a guy on the court growing up that everybody called the trash man. He cleans up everything on both sides of the court, and I feel like his intensity slash 110% effort on even the little things reminds his teammates to keep it up. I agree with this. And it kind of goes along with the guy in Fike. If you, it's almost like you need, especially when you have guys that are going to shoot it, you need like one guy who understands that everybody else is going to shoot it, and his job is to just make it easier on everybody else. When Brad Brownell says in his postgame press conference that we have to play better basketball than teams to beat them, what he means is that he needs guys to play with the, I would say, the basketball savvy that David Skara does. I would say Skara is a guy where savvy trumps skill with him. Would you agree with that, Kelly? Savvy trumps skill. He knows where to go. He knows where to be. He understands his limitations right now. So he's not going to go out trying to drop 20. He's not going to be disappointed if he does that. Last night he had 1 point, but is savvy. Knowing when to crash and get an offensive rebound. Closing out on shooters. Being able to penetrate. Understand the depth to which you can penetrate. And then where to distribute the ball after that. Knowing how to get the ball to the proper guy. He doesn't try to do too much. Savvy over skill.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I would totally agree with that. I like these characterizations of Scar on the text line. Someone compared him to Tanner Smith. I think that's a little bit of a stretch because Tanner
scored.
Was definitely a talented offensive player. Not that Scar isn't talented, but I mean, Tanner was called on much more to score the ball.
Would you believe that there are tournaments already underway as we progress?
A lot of those mid-major tournaments, yeah. Like the Conference USA maybe, or you know, the Big Ten.
I nerded out big time on this. I have an Excel sheet with Conference tournaments just so I can keep up.
Why is the Big Ten already having their tournament? There's no other way to ensure that you are the redheaded stepchild of the Power Five conferences than to have your tournament right now.
You know why?
The week before.
You know why? People have kind of diagnosed why, and it said Jim Delaney, his like pet project, was putting his tournament not just in New York, but in the Garden. So you couldn't go to MSG next week because I think the Big East tournament's there. You couldn't do that. So he did it this week so that he could have a tournament in Madison Square Garden. That's what he did. And basically he said it's a terrible move, and it's all about one guy trying to validate the fact that he brought in Rutgers in Maryland who haven't done bupkis since they got into the Big Ten.
What is up with every league being obsessed with having their tournament in New York City?
I don't know why the ACC is obsessed with it.
The Big East makes perfect sense.
I saw a radio guy in the Triangle tweeted this. I think Joe Ovius was the one that did it. I might be wrong about that. Anyway, he said that the ACC should do a rotation between Greensboro, D.C., and then some sort of an alternate site. I think that's good. We've gotten good returns on when the tournament's in D.C. They've had good crowds up there.
D.C. seems like a great idea and a no-brainer.
New York is not a great idea.
New York doesn't make sense to me. Greensboro, I mean, we were just there. Greensboro is not a happening place. I just don't know if it's big enough. Or it's not a metropolitan area that should be hosting this big of an event. Now,
they've hosted it forever.
I totally agree.
They've done it a million times. They're good at it.
And it's the headquarters of the ACC. And I'm sure they'd do a great job, but That's not enough just to give them the tournament.
Doesn't it matter?
I think Charlotte would be a great
idea. Doesn't it matter that they're good at it, though?
Sure.
Greensboro?
That
arena is bigger than Charlotte's arena, too.
Yes,
but
think
more people in there.
Think about Charlotte, though. Charlotte, you take it at least a little bit off Tobacco Road, right? So you're not just blatantly having it literally on Tobacco Road with Greensboro. Now, you're not having it in the Dean Dome. That would literally be Tobacco Road. But Greensboro is right there. For all four of those schools to get there. Charlotte, you at least take it a little bit out of there. It's more centrally located for your southern schools in the ACC, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Florida State. Miami's going to have to travel far wherever they go. And Louisville as well. I think Charlotte, the rotation should be Charlotte, some sort of Charlotte, Greensboro. I mean, if you keep Greensboro in there, that's fine. Charlotte, Greensboro, D.C. Maybe even, it was in Atlanta, 2012?
Yeah.
But Atlanta seems like the SEC's territory, even though they're always in Nashville.
No, the SEC's in, like, St. Louis or somewhere.
Well, yeah, they're in St. Louis this year. That's right.
Why are they doing that? That's like moving the ACC tournament to, like, Toronto or
something. Think of all the places you could pick for the SEC tournament, and someone said, let's go with St. Louis.
Because it's close to Missouri and...
What?
Who?
Why on earth would you do St. Louis?
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, think of all the other great cities in the South that you could have this thing at. New Orleans. You could go as far as Houston if you wanted. Nashville, obviously. Atlanta. And we're going to go with St. Louis.
We'll get some of the updates of some of these smaller tournaments, especially as it warrants. Like if a one seed goes down or something like that, you need to know. If it's a two bid league, you gotta monitor the two bids. Who goes down, the upsets and things of that nature. No real big upsets, I don't think. I want to double check the games from last night and make sure nobody went down that was of any consequence in these things. But a lot of times the best teams haven't even played yet in some of these tournaments. Speaking of that, the Big Ten tournament already underway today. Wisconsin leads Maryland 25-24 in MSG. Ethan Happ with 8 points. Anthony Cowan with 10 points for Maryland. Name me two players on Maryland's team. Or name me one player that's not Anthony Cowan, whose name that we just called. Because I can't name you one player on Maryland's roster. I don't know any of them. 19 wins. They're about to go for 20 wins today. Couldn't name you one of their players. Not even one. Melo Trimble? He's not there anymore.
Grievous Diamond? Vasquez?
Diamond? Juan Dixon?
Juan Dixon?
Steve Blake?
Steve Blake.
Give me Juan
wow.
Dixon. All right, so here are the possible seeds. This is Kelly Dickey at Real Card Game. Does a great job updating this every single night, and this is not easy. You got to be I've done stuff like this in the past when I really felt passionate about it. This year, because of women's basketball travel and all that, I've not felt passionate about doing this. Trying to figure out what's the highest and lowest possible seed if all the tiebreakers go well. And so I'm just leaning on Kelly Dickey, who, again, is doing a remarkable job and probably a thankless job at that.
I mean, also a Kelly.
Also
so
a Kelly. Can we clap for Kelly?
Wonderful
doing good
job.
Work and contributing to the show. Anytime a Kelly can do that. Powerful. It's powerful when Kellys get together. Powerful. Virginia's locked in as a one seed. Who do you think has the most, the widest variance of places that they could be?
I would say, I don't think Clemson anymore because you win last night.
Clemson is 3-6.
3-6. That's not that much of a variance. Maybe a team like Florida State.
Florida State is 8-11 now with that loss
last
night. Yeah. Well, look at them.
Louisville.
We've talked about these. Louisville is correct. We've talked about Florida State and how just erratic they've been all year. But they lost again by 20, didn't make a three. The other night, they got a guy that makes five against Clemson. Hey, this is a team that nobody can figure out. But Florida State in league right now is 8-9. So they've got a very low ceiling. 8-11, Florida State. Louisville can finish as high as third. Now, that would require beating Virginia. Their ceiling is going to lower tonight unless they knock off the number one team in all the land. 3-9, Louisville.
That is insane.
The other great variance occurs when you go below Clemson in the standings. Miami can finish as high as third and as low as eighth. NC State can finish as high as third and as low as eighth. Virginia Tech can finish as high as third or as low as eighth. So the Virginia Tech, the NC State, Georgia Tech game tonight, that could change the floor or ceiling for the Wolfpack. Then you go up. Duke can finish as high as second, as low as fifth, depending on what happens. If NC State wins out and they start losing tiebreakers, and they lose to North Carolina, then they might drop lower down there. North Carolina can finish second through sixth with the exception of third. For some reason, they can't finish third. Clemson can finish from third to sixth. Then you get the Miami, NC State, Virginia Tech, third through eighth. Louisville, third through ninth. Basically, this means going into the final 3 days of games, you have, I don't think anybody plays Sunday. I might be wrong about that. There are 8 different teams that could fill the top 3 seeds. And in fact, Virginia's already locked in. So there are 2 teams that could finish second. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 6 teams that could finish third in the league. Duke, Clemson, Miami, NC State, Virginia Tech, Louisville all could finish third.
The good news for Clemson, though.
And nobody plays Sunday, right?
Nobody plays Sunday. That's right. The season ends Saturday, regular season.
Okay.
Clemson, 29% chance to finish third, right? 48% chance to finish fourth. So right there, 77% chance to finish third or fourth. That is good news.
Yes.
I mean, more than you know, you're more than likely to get that bye.
And that includes
wherever you end up.
The chance of your result and then a chance of other results that impact it.
Yeah.
So that's not just they're going to beat Syracuse. That's maybe they have a 54, 55, 56% chance of beating Syracuse if I just had to pick a number. It might be a little bit higher than that, but that's basically what it is. It's a little bit better than a coin flip, I would imagine. If you have that, then the other things that work around you have a high probability of happening as well that benefit you. So Clemson in winning that game last night and Miami in beating North Carolina has set off a chain of events that probably positively has impacted Clemson in terms of upward mobility. Because remember, we looked at it like Clemson was probably in a fifth or sixth spot, you know, with North Carolina up above and losing tiebreakers to NC State and all these. Now, all of a sudden, that's not necessarily the case.
If Clemson is the 3 or 4 seed, they'll play Saturday and then they won't play till Thursday. I mean, I know you got to travel and get up there and all that stuff, but this time of year, I mean, you need that rest.
Yeah.
That's huge. That is huge for the Tigers.
Yeah, no question.
They would be, if you're the 4 seed, you play the 2 p.m. game on Thursday. And if you're the 3 seed, you play the 9 p.m. game on Thursday.
Very interesting stuff. We'll get back to this in a moment. I don't think I've ever met anybody, had a good experience with the IRS. Of course, with a new tax code, there's so many questions. There's so many things you don't know. And if the IRS is breathing down your neck, chances are the new legislation has maybe made it a little easier for you to get the IRS off your back, but maybe not. No matter how severe your problem is, David Green can help you. 20 years dealing with the IRS. He's a Clemson grad, a Greenville native. The solution to your problem is right here. Not a national company, but right here in Greenville. The tax code that's ever-changing, the Fresh Start program. He understands how to leverage those to your advantage. He knows what will be acceptable compromises to the IRS. He's got working relationships, local and national level, to get you the right solution. Do us a favor. Call him for a free strategy session, 271-7940, or visit him on the web at greenlaw.legal. Hour 2, Brian Edwards coming up next.